We're thankful that you have come and into our presence again. Now it's on. Sound like it's on. But some of you may be here for the very first time, and we want you to know that we are so happy and thankful that you have come our way. Hope that you'll come back as often as you can. We have a good crowd present this morning. Last Sunday was the last time that we met in the other building, and we had 84. And I'm hoping we have more than that here today. As Larry mentioned at the beginning of our service, there has been so much work that's been done. There has been a ton of work, but there was 2 tons of sweat that was put in to put in this room back together. And the members here, all of them pitched in, worked together, labored together, and we sweated together, but we got it done. So we can be here this morning. And what a beautiful place we have to worship God. And we're so thankful to have this auditorium. I want you to hold up your Bible if you have it. This is what we customarily do here. We'd like to see our Bibles. This is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. In my hand, I hold a book, and the book is called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. Oh, the B-I-B-L-E. How many of you ever had times in your life, occasions that have arisen, or circumstances that have taken place when you felt as though your closeness to the Lord was wavering? There are times in all of our lives, all of us experience those moments, whether it's through difficulties or distress or whatever it is, anxieties, where we might even begin to question if God is there for us. Is He helping me? Is He comforting me? Maybe it's in a time of weakness, and maybe we even sin against God and we conclude that He will never forgive us because we have such a difficult time of forgiving ourselves. I wonder if King David struggled with his closeness with God. There are numerous times that are recorded in the Scriptures where David had sinned. And in his transgressions, he felt as though God had moved from him. David felt that farness from God. He felt as though he wasn't as close to God as he needed to be. And I'm sure in times like that, all of us have felt that. We've experienced ourselves. But we can take from David the suggestion that we ought to retain in our knowledge and to know that the Lord is indeed close to us, even if it doesn't feel like it, because of the promises that He's given us. The promises that He is never far from any one of us. The promise that He made to the disciples, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I am there for you. But look at the statement that David made in Psalm 16 and verse 8. Psalm 16 verse 8 is our lesson text for this morning. Here David says, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. How can we set the Lord before us? I want to offer this morning 4 suggestions that I believe that we can look to God, we can see that He is present, that He is always near, and He is there for us. Number one, we can look to the creative world. We can look to the world that God has made. And as we recognize the beautiful creation of this vast universe, we see the glory and the splendor and the power of our God. How many of you have ever looked out on a dark, starry night and the universe, the vastness of the expanse above, the clearness and the crispness of the air and the coolness of the night breeze, and you behold the stars in the heavens? You see, the same psalmist says in Psalm 19 verse 1 that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. You and I can allow God's natural world and the universe to draw us closer to Him. Because everything that God has made, all that God has created, proclaims the power and the knowledge of God to us. All that God created, all that He provided for us, expresses that eternal power and His deity. Look over in the New Testament to the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1. There in verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes about this very thing. He says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." No one, not one single person, can make the excuse and say, "I don't know if there's a God or not." Paul, the psalmist David, says that we can look at this natural world and we can know that there is a God behind it all. An infinite, all-powerful, all-loving God who made this world for you and I to enjoy and for us to live here. And when we take the time to just contemplate all that the Lord created, then indeed we see God's splendor and His love and care for us. When you and I stand in the very midst of God's creation, maybe it's out in the woods, maybe it's out in the green pastures filled with flowers, or maybe on a day much like today, looking out the windows and you see the beautiful sunshine, you see the green grass, you see the blue sky, and you can know that there is a God in heaven. And there's a God who loves me, and God is concerned about me, and that He is my maker, my creator, and that I can draw closer to Him. God wants that of each and every one of us. The poet has written the words, "Walking alone in Eve and viewing the skies afar, then in the darkness come to welcome each silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in His power and might is showing His truth and love. I see God's love in the creation that He's made for us." But not only that, as awesome as God's world is, this world that God has made, we can draw even closer to God and set the Lord before us by looking to His revelation, looking to His Word, as God has revealed Himself in His Word, the Bible. You see, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself to man. It is the full revelation of all that God would have us to know. It is His will that He wants us to know. And God has made that clear to us. He has expressed it in written form. I can read it and study it and learn it and know that God cares for me and that He is close. That's the only way that God's complete will can be known. It's through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit has made the will of God known to us through that direct divine Word. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 21 that prophecy came not at old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And then there's that passage in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, where Paul says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for knowledge and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or completely furnished unto every good work. There are many examples that we can see in the Scriptures of individuals that place their complete trust and dependency upon God's Word. I think about David as one. David was one who used God's message to help him stay close to God. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. verses 92 and 93. David says, "Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." David says, God's word is what gives me life. In verse 105, he says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It guides me. It gives me the direction that I need each day. And then in verses 147 and 148, he says, "I rise before the dawning of the morning and I cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I might meditate on your word." Oh, how love I thy law, verse 97, for it is my meditation all the day. Do you hear the delight in David's words, in the expressions that he makes there about how important God's word is to him and how it helps him to draw closer to God? That's what we need in our lives today more than ever before. We need to study and to read and to live by those precious precepts, that holy Bible book divine, by inspiration given, that light that guides us and directs our every step. Again, the poet has said, "Sitting alone at eve and dreaming the hours away, watching the shadows falling now at the close of day, God in His mercy comes, with His word He is drawing near, spreading His love and truth around me and everywhere." We draw near to God when we draw closer to His word. And so we have God's creation, and we have His word that draws us close to Him. Yet the Lord also wants us to set Him before us through a strong prayer life. You see, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We know that. And we know it's true in all of our relationships, in our physical relationships as well as in our spiritual relationship, that it involves two people in order to have a relationship. You can't have a relationship just one way, can you? It has to be both ways. And that's the way it is with God. That's true with the Lord as well. You and I have the responsibility to communicate to God. He has already communicated with us. He has given us His word, whereby He speaks to us and guides us and directs us and wants us to know more about Him. He's given the creation. He's revealed Himself in the natural world by all that He has made. But then you and I have a responsibility. How do we communicate with Him? It's through prayer. That's the means that we relate to God, our concerns. It's how we relate all of our hurts and our pains, as well as our joys and our celebrations. We even relate our thanksgivings to God by the offering up of our praise and glory to Him through that avenue of prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the writing of Paul to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, you relate those joys and sorrows, your prayers and your thanksgivings and your supplications. You make those known to God with that joyful heart. And it's through that prayer that we can, with great confidence, come to God, whereby we can obtain His mercy and His grace. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4, verses 11 through 16, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin." Listen to that last verse, verse 16. So then let us therefore come boldly, boldly unto the throne of grace, unto the throne of God's grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. How do we do that? He says it's done through prayer. We're able to come with boldness and confidence into the very throne room of God. As we beseech God in prayer, we come into His presence, and there we draw near unto Him. You see, as we draw nearer and nearer unto God, He will also draw nearer and nearer unto us. The times where we need help, those times where we need His mercy, we need His grace, we're told to come to Him through prayer. Draw close to God through prayer. I see examples of this in the Old Testament as well as in the New. I see it in the life of David, just as I see it also in the life of our Lord. David was one perhaps who confessed his sins more often than anybody else, and he did so with great conviction, and he would ask God to forgive him and to offer him His mercy and grace. Listen to Psalm 32, verses 3 and 5. David said, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." You see, when David poured out his heart in repentance, God was merciful, and God forgave him. The iniquity of David's sins were wiped away, because David was willing to approach God in prayer. But think about the Lord. We think about Jesus and the many times that He would go to His Father to find that source of strength that He needed in times of great difficulty and trials in His life. There's no better example of this than in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 and 40. Here's what it says. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And He saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little farther away. And He fell on His face and He prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Here's the point. In the times in Jesus' life when He felt the greatest period of weakness or trial or adversity that was upon Him, the stress of carrying the sins of the world to the cross, He recognized His need for God's help and strength. And Jesus poured out His heart in agony to the Father. Father, let this pass from me if it's Your will. But if it's not, then I'll go through it. And He did for us. Jesus teaches us by His example the importance of prayer and how much we need to pray to God to draw near unto Him. And so to draw near to the Lord, let us always make sure that we offer our prayers to Him. Let me share with you again the words of the poet. "Closing my eyes at eve and thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meeting Him face to face, trusting Him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam, pleading with Him to guide me on to the Spirit's home." But then number four, there's still another avenue in which we can set the Lord before us, drawn closer to God, and it's in our fellowship with each other. You see, God desires that His people be a family. so that each and every one of us can be benefited from this connection, from the association that we have, that mutual support and encouragement, the strength that is offered in the family of God. You and I know also well that there's strength in numbers. When you come against an opponent, or if a general takes his army against a far superior force, he weighs the options of, can he win the battle or not? Do I have enough wherewithal to defeat my opponent? Why? Because there's strength in numbers. If that enemy force is far superior and his forces are too small, he knows he'll be defeated. We can draw help and encouragement within the family because it's not just us. It's not just me. It's not just self. It's all of us. It's everyone working together, helping each other, benefiting from one another, building each other up, encouraging each other. We're not in this alone. We're in this together. To see the truth of strength in numbers, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12, he said that two are better than one. He says, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. You and I, each one is a cord. And we're all wrapped around together by a single cord, which is the Lord. And we're bound together like sticks that are so hard to be broken when they're bound together. Individually, they're easy to break, but bind them together, it's almost impossible. With God as the cord binding us together, strengthening us each and every day, it helps us to avoid that danger of falling away. We're encouraged so many times to draw strength from each other. You look at the example of the early church and how close those early Christians were to one another. How they took delight in being together in each other's homes and worshiping God together in the temple and then eating their meals together. They took a great solace from that. There was great comfort that came to them because they saw the churches being together and praising God together, and they were having favor with the people. Why? Because they were united together. It's hard to tear one apart from the group if the whole group is working to save even just one. The devil has a hard time ripping one of us away from the family if every member here is united in supporting to defend that member. You see, with God's help, we can. With God's help, we can overcome anything. With God's help, we can draw close not only to each other as a family, but by doing so, we draw closer to Him. When we come together in times such as this, worshiping, praising God, glorifying Him, we're made stronger. You see, worship's not a time just for us. It's not a time for our entertainment or our pleasure or our enjoyment, but rather it's a time in which we glorify and honor our God. So therefore, in our songs that we sing and in the prayers that we pray, in our remembrance of Christ and His sacrifice for us, in applying God's message to our hearts and to our lives, even as we give back to God, all of this is done in praising and glorifying and honoring the God of heaven. And when we do that in spirit and truth, then we truly know that we are focused upon our Lord. And we are drawing ourselves closer to Him. Set the Lord always before you. As you look to the creative world that God has made, as you look to His Word, as God has revealed Himself to us, as we pray to God, communicating with Him as a child with his Father, and as we draw strength and support, encouragement from one another, we're drawn closer to Him. Draw close to God. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel as though your faith has wavered some, or maybe it's wavering even now and you're going through some very difficult moments in your life. Don't pull away from the family, and don't ever pull away from God. Draw closer to Him and He will help you. It's in God's presence through prayer that we find the strength and the mercy and the help that we need in those difficult times of life. If you're here this morning, you need to draw close to God. Maybe you need to come back to Him if you've wandered away from Him. If you've been apart from the family, come back to God's family. Be restored to your first love. And if you need to obey the gospel, draw close to Him by confessing Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and be buried with Him in that watery grave of baptism, to be added by the Lord to the church, which is the body of the saved, and ever live your life in service to Him. If that's your need this morning, would you come to Him? Will you respond as we stand together and sing this song of encouragement? And if you need to come, do so while together we stand and sing. Hear this voice.